You got me, Jeff Michael, here for Health Matters, in the chair for Jeremy. And today we're talking about medication safety right here on Noongar Radio's Health Matters program. And, well, medicine can work wonders, but even some over-the-counter or prescription meds can be dangerous when used incorrectly. And problems can also arise if you use medications meant for someone else, forget to take your meds when you go travelling, or if medications are not stored properly. And just because you feel okay doesn't mean it's a good idea to stop taking medications that have been prescribed by your doctor. And joining me in the studio is Kerry Fitzsimmons. Now, she's a senior pharmacist here in Perth. G'day, Kerry.
Hi, Jeff. And thank you very much for having me today.
I suppose the obvious question, what is medication?
Well, medication is a substance that we use to treat, cure and prevent diseases, and also to promote health. So it's really important that when you're unwell, or whether you've got a condition which requires medicine, that you go to the doctor or go to the pharmacist to get some advice about how to take those medications.
Okay, and what is medication safety?
So medication safety is making sure that when you have a medication prescribed for you by the doctor, given to you by the pharmacist, when you have a prescription or over-the-counter medicines such as cough and cold medicines and pain relief, and also if you're in hospital and have medications administered to you, that it's all done appropriately for your need, for whatever is the problem that you've come to hospital for or that you need the medicine for, and also that, you know, you're looking after yourself and making sure that you understand what the medicines are for.
Yeah, and how can you learn more about your medications?
So it's really important that when you get prescribed a medicine by your doctor or given a medicine by the pharmacist or chemist, when you go there, that you make sure that you know what each medicine is for, how to take it, and how long to take it. That some medicines you might only need for a short term, such as antibiotics if you're sick with an infection, where other medicines you might need to take for a longer period of time to make sure that you stay well. So, for example, if you have like diabetes and you need insulin treatment, if you stop taking the insulin, then the diabetes will get worse. So it is really important that even if you feel well and you know that, you know, you've been taking the medicine for a while, that you do keep taking it. And if you have any problems with taking it on an ongoing basis, that you talk to either your doctor or pharmacist.
Okay, this is Health Matters with me, Jeff Michael, and I'm speaking with Kerry Fitzsimmons right here on the program. And in the studio, I've got Kerry Fitzsimmons, and she's a senior pharmacist here in Perth. And, yeah, we're talking about how can you learn more about your medications, and also have you had any stories as far as making sure that you're safe with medications?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess one way that you can learn more about your medicines is making sure you do have those conversations with your doctor, or pharmacist, or even if you see a clinical nurse wherever you are. So that's really important. So I guess, again, around the medicines, I mean, they usually come with a medicine leaflet, but it's also really important that you understand the information in the leaflet, because sometimes they can have a lot of information that, you know, can be quite difficult to understand sometimes. So it's always important to make sure that you talk to your doctor or pharmacist to make sure you understand exactly what to do with your medicines. Some medicines do have side effects or sort of what we call bad effects. Usually when the doctor's looking at prescribing a medicine, we'll look at to make sure that the good effects outweigh the bad effects of a medicine. But sometimes this does happen, so, and we call these side effects of the drug. For example, you know, some people come out in a rash after taking the medicine. And this isn't this doesn't happen for everybody. So I know my mum just recently started a medicine for her pain control, and she's come out in a bit of a rash, and so we've gone back to the doctor, and the doctor's changed her medicine to make sure that it's a medicine that doesn't cause, you know, that sort of side effect for her. And she's feeling much better with the new medicine, and she hasn't got the problem of having the rash anymore. So it is really important that if you have had a problem in the past with the medicine, that you do talk to your doctor or nurse or pharmacist and let us know, because we don't want to make that problem happen again, because the medicines are supposed to make you feel better, not worse. So it is really important that we do take that information in, and when we get that information, we'll document it, especially if you come to hospital, we'll document and make sure that everybody's aware that that's the problem that you've had in the past, so that we don't cause that sort of problem again for you. And also, there can be lots of different effects from a drug, depending on what sort of dose you're on as well, that, you know, are a little bit more predictable. So we do want to hear all sorts of, you know, if you do have any problems whatsoever, whether it be like an allergy, or whether it be like a, you know, if something makes you feel a bit dizzy, or, you know, if there's other problems that come up that you really think are a problem for you, and how you can keep taking your medicine, it's important to have that talk with your doctor or pharmacist, so that we can, you know, work out what's best.
I suppose don't be embarrassed either to talk to your doctor if something weird starts happening when you're taking the medication, because, then the doctor will be able to figure something out as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's really important that, you know, when you're talking to your doctor, that, you know, you're in a safe place, and the doctor really needs to know about everything that's happening that you might think is a bit strange. But, you know, if we can do something to change the medicine so it doesn't happen again, and makes you feel more comfortable about taking medicines, then that's the best thing for you, so that you can make sure that you stay healthy.
And this is Health Matters, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here on the program. And this is Health Matters, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio with me, Jeff Michael. And joining me today is Kerry Fitzsimons, and she's from the Department of Health, one of the senior pharmacists there. And Kerry, how can you stay safe when using medication?
Well, I think the most important thing is to take the medicine how your doctor or pharmacist has told you to take it. I work in a hospital as well, and I know that when you have patients coming in to the hospital, that sometimes after having a bit of a discussion with them, you'll find out that, well, the doctor told me to take two of the fluid tablets in the morning, and two at lunchtime, but I found out that I was running to the toilet all evening, and so I decided not to take the lunchtime dose, where this can actually mean that, you know, what you're taking the fluid tablets for, the problem gets worse again. So if you're getting swelling in your ankles or something along those lines, or having difficulty breathing due to a heart problem, you might find that by stopping that dose, even though part of the problem was, you know, that you were running to the toilet all the time, that it means that, you know, you might find the breathing gets worse again, or the swelling gets worse. So it is really important to take the medicine how you're told to take the medicine, and usually the information's on the label as well that you get when you get your medicines from the pharmacist. So if you do have any problems, like, you know, the fluid tablets causing you to run to the toilet all the time, then it is really important, again, to have that conversation with the doctor or the pharmacist, so that we can, you know, if we need to make changes, we can look at that for you as well.
Okay, and how can you keep others safe around medication?
I guess that one of the most important things is not to share your medicines. You might get some really good benefits from taking your medicine as the doctor's prescribed it. So whether that be for pain or an antibiotic, or you know, some kind of medication that you've been prescribed by the doctor. But it's really important, because usually the doctor tailors the medicine doses and the medicine type for your special needs. So the medicines don't always suit everybody. You might find that, you know, it might cause, you know, side effects because it wasn't the right dose for you, even though it's right dose for the, sorry, you know, it won't be the right dose for your family member or friend that you're sharing it with, but it's the right dose for you. So if you do, you know, take medicines, you know, make sure that you keep them, to yourself, for yourself, so that you're not actually giving them to other people. And it's also really important, with children, if you have children around, whether it be your own children or grandchildren or friends' children coming around, that they're not accessible so that they can accidentally take them. It's really important because a lot of the doses that we have, directions of how to take the medicines for an adult is very different to how we, make sure the doses are for children, and some medicines aren't appropriate to use in children as well. So we do have a lot of children presenting to the children's hospital with intoxication and high dose side effects from accidentally consuming them. And it's very easy because a lot of the tablets look like lollies sometimes, because they're lots of different colours and they look quite attractive, in little tablets and capsules. So it is really important that they're stored very safely away, usually in a high area where the children can't get the medicines, and also making sure that the lids are on tight, so that you do make sure that, you know, they're not very accessible to the children to open as well. So, you know, and sometimes it's easier if you've got arthritis or something to leave the lid slightly ajar, so it's easy to get the medicines in and out. But if you have children around, then that can be quite dangerous, because then they can get the medicines and swallow them. And usually for a child, it's not taking one, it's taking all of them, because they all look very exciting. So it is really important to make sure that you keep them away from small children as well.
And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. We're talking about medication safety. And a little bit later on, we'll be talking about the deal with codeine availability. So keep listening to Health Matters right here on Noongar. And this is Health Matters. We're talking about medication safety today. And, yeah, I suppose, getting back to the earlier question there, how do you stay safe when using medication? I think you got some more tips there for us there, Kerry.
I have, Jeff. I guess one thing that happens quite a lot is that, you know, if you think the medicine's helping, that sometimes you might want to take extra to make it extra better. But this doesn't always work either, so because that might also mean that you might get more side effects from the medicine. So it is really important that you don't double up your medicine as well when you're taking the medicine. You take it as the doctor has instructed you to take the medicine and what's on the label. And also what is really important is making sure that you keep the medicines in the original container that they come in, so the box or the bottle. For example, I mean, I know during my day-to-day work, sometimes I see people bring their own medicines in to hospital, which is really helpful for us, because it means we can make sure that when you're in hospital, you take the medicines that you should be taking. But I've seen some very interesting containers full of multiple medications, where it's sort of like a lolly jar, really, where you've got like all the different tablets and capsules the person's taking in one big container. And so it's a bit of a lucky dip as to what you might get, and it isn't very good for the medicines. Sometimes if they're not stored properly, they don't last as long. So and this is an example of where it can be a bit of a risk if you're pulling out the wrong tablet or capsule, if you're having a problem with your eyesight or something, to make sure you know exactly what to take. So it is important that you keep it in the packages. Sometimes they come in like a metal strip, and
yeah.
That's important as well. So
okay, and I suppose we always like to go travelling and got to pack all the stuff away, but how about when it comes to preparing your medications if you're a traveller?
Well, if you're going away, it's really important to make sure that you've got enough of the medicines to take with you while you're away. Sometimes you can forget because you're all the excitement about going on the holiday, and you need to, you know, get halfway through your trip and realise that you've run out of some of your medicines. So it's really important to have a look to see how much you have before you go, and make sure you take your medicines with you. There is a possibility that, you know, if you're going away for an extended period of time, that the pharmacist might be able to help get you some extra supply to cover you for that period that you're away. So that's really helpful too, if you have that conversation with your pharmacist and doctor, that they can help you prepare and have enough medicines to take with you for your full trip. And I think it's important that, you know, that you make sure that, you know, you're not interrupted in what you're taking, and when you're taking things, also think about, you know, how are you going to store them as well, because some things need to be kept in the fridge. How are you going to keep them cold? It's, you know, important that a lot of the medicines don't get exposed to high temperatures. So keeping them in a cool place is really important. And the reason for this is that when they're exposed to heat, the actual drug starts to wear away, if you like, in the actual effect of it. So you find that when you're taking the drug, well, medicine won't be as effective. So, and it can actually, you know, sometimes cause other side effects as well. So it is really important that when you look after your medicines, not only when you're away, but also when you're at home, that you keep them in a cool, dry place so that, you know, they do stay as effective as they should be for you.
Yeah, and this is Health Matters, come to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth, and we're talking medication safety, and we'll be back with more in a couple of moments. The following is for station sponsor Breastgrain WA.
Who do you work for and what job do you do?
All right, well, my name's Kelly Cameron. I work for Breastgrain WA and I'm the Aboriginal Program Officer. My role involves promoting Breastgrain WA to the Aboriginal communities all over WA. I go out and talk to community groups, workplaces, anyone really that wants to have a yarn and learn more about breast screening, breast cancer and breast awareness.
What is breast screening and why do women need it?
Breast screening is checking women's breasts for breast cancer using an X-ray machine called a mammogram. 1 in 8 women in Australia would develop breast cancer in their lifetime, so the best time to treat breast cancer is when it's still very small. So by having regular mammograms through Breastscreen WA, it's one of the best things you can do to detect breast cancer early and improve your chances of survival. It's one thing that can't be prevented, but the earlier breast cancer is detected, the better the chance of successful treatment.
Who should have breast screening and how often?
Breastscreen WA actively targets women aged 50 to 74 years old, but a woman from the age of 40 years old are eligible to come in. We recommend you have a screening mammogram every 2 years, and our mammograms are performed on women with no breast symptoms for the purpose of detecting breast cancer at an early stage before it can be felt or noticed.
What if I'm a woman under 40 years old?
Women under 40 years old are not eligible to attend our screening mammogram at Breastscreen WA. Younger women have much denser breast tissues than older women, so it's more difficult for screening mammograms to show the changes that may indicate cancer. Over 75% of the breast cancers occur in women over 50 years of age. So if you're under 40, we recommend just seeing your doctor or being breast aware.
Where can I get one?
We've got 10 metro clinics. So we've got Cannington, Coburn, Mandurah, Midland, Mirrabooka, Padbury, Perth, Rockingham, Wanneroo, and we've got one in the David Jones Rose Clinic, which is level 3 of the David Jones City Store. We've also got a fixed clinic and assessment centre in Bunbury at the Southwest Health Campus. Breastscreen WA has 4 mobile units that travel all over Western Australia. The mobile service visits more than 100 towns every 2 years. So some towns are visited annually. You just need to ring 13 20 50 for an appointment, or you may be able to book online. We can also arrange block bookings if requested. And we currently are trialling a mobile in the city project, so which has been really successful, and we've got the next one located in Kwinana from the 19th of March to the 6th of April, and then we'll be in Armidale from the 9th of April to the 23rd of April.
And how much does it cost?
It's free. So all you need to do is bring in your Medicare card with you to your appointment, and there's no cost involved.
What happens during the breast X-ray?
You'll be asked to remove clothing from your top half. We only have female radiographers, and they'll position your upper body and your breast to get the best picture possible. The breast is then compressed gently from above and below by the plates of the mammogram machine. It can be a bit uncomfortable, but only lasts about 10 to 15 seconds. 2 X-rays are taken of each breast, and obviously one from the top and one from the side.
What if they find something?
One in 20 women may be called back for further tests. This doesn't necessarily mean that you've got breast cancer. Breastscreen WA will contact you to discuss your results and what else is needed. Most things that need further tests are not breast cancer, but if it is, remember that earlier breast cancer is found, the better chance of successful outcome.
If it's normal, am I definitely okay?
Breast x-rays find 70 to 90% of breast cancer, but it doesn't find them all. I encourage all women to be breast aware, even if your results are normal. This means getting to know your breasts, what they look and feel like throughout the month, and if there are things that change, like lumps, discharge, dimpling, rash or abnormal pain, talk to your doctor or your healthcare worker as soon as possible. Women ask me what is normal and what are changes. Normal is what's normal for you. For changes, look for anything that's different for you.
What else can I do?
Be breast aware. So look for changes. If you notice any changes, see your doctor as soon as you can. From the age of 40, you're eligible to come and have a free screening mammogram with us every 2 years.
How do I book a free mammogram?
You can call 13 20 50, which will connect you to our call centre, or you can go online. You can search Breastscreen WA and follow the prompts, or you can find us on our Facebook page.
This has been a message from station sponsor Breastscreen WA. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. And with, you got me, Jeff Michael here. And also joining me is Kerry Fitzsimons. She's a senior pharmacist at the Department of Health, and we're talking medication safety, and we were talking about when we go travelling, how we have to sort our medications out, how we're going to store them, and I suppose taking enough, and any other medication travel tips for us, Kerry?
I have a couple for you, Jeff. I guess one thing that's really important, and probably not only for travelling but always, is to have a list of your medicines on you. So whether you carry it in your handbag or your wallet, to make sure that you've got a list of medicines, so if there is a problem, say if you lose your medicines or if you have to go and take something new, if you have to go and see a doctor while you're away and you need to add something new, it's really important that the doctor or the pharmacist knows about any medicines that you're taking already, so that we can make sure that, you know, sometimes drugs, if they mix together, they can have other side effects as well. So not only the effects that you would expect, but they can have combined effects with some medicines. Not many, but there are some that are important. So it's really important that we know, that, say, if you're on a tablet which causes your blood to be a little bit thinner because you've had problems with clots, you know, sometimes those medications can interact with antibiotics, for example, and you might find that your risk of bleeding is much higher. So it is really important to make sure that when you talk to a health professional, whether it be a doctor or a pharmacist or a nurse while you're away on holiday, to have that list of medications with you. And we also feel that it's really helpful too that if you come to hospital to have a current list of medicines with you, as well as your own medicines, so that we can have that discussion about what you're taking and how to take it. And I suppose another good idea would be to keep a list of information about the doctor that you normally see or the pharmacist you usually get your medicines at. So if you are away and something happens that, you know, you're not able to communicate very well to the doctors, if you're that unwell, then, you know, at least if you've got that information on you, then it helps us make sure that we're looking after you in the best way possible.
Yeah, so handy tips there. And this is something that's been in the news or recently with changes to the sale of codeine medication, Kerry. Well, suppose what is codeine?
So codeine is a drug that's really closely related to morphine, and it's a class of medicines of what we call opioid medicines, and the majority of these medicines are considered quite strong painkillers for the majority of reasons why we use them. So, you know, codeine itself has been available for a long time as part of a over-the-counter medicine that you can buy from the pharmacy. So medicines like Panadeine and some cold and flu symptoms have also had a little bit of codeine. They haven't had very much codeine, and I guess a lot of the discussion is that to actually get the effect of the codeine for the pain management, some people have been taking more than they need to take of those medicines, and and it's been felt that it would be better to have that discussion with the doctor about if you do really need codeine, or, you know, if there's another alternative that we can start looking at, you know, what's best for your pain management.
Yeah, and, well, what is actually changing with codeine availability?
So we've actually, there's been some changes in put out by the Therapeutics Goods Administration, which is from the Commonwealth Department of Health, which legislates or restricts the amount of codeine that can be sold over the counter in the pharmacy. So these medicines are still available. Probably not the cold and flu medicines. They've taken the codeine out of those products now. But the codeine, such as Panadeine, is still available, but it will need a prescription from your doctor. So it is important, because we found a lot of people have become a bit dependent upon these medications. And I said sometimes you do need to take... people build up a bit of a tolerance, so they when they first take the medicine, they get a really good effect. And then as they keep taking it, the effect wears off a bit, and so people tend to need to take more to have the same effect as what they did when they first took the medicine. And this can be a real problem, because a lot of these medicine codeines usually comes with another medicine as well. They're usually combination products, and so sometimes it means then you're taking too much of the other product as well, and that can cause a lot of bad effects, and has caused people to be coming to hospital due to these bad effects. So, you know, and there's been a lot of information from hospitals about the harm that's it's causing people when they're taking the codeine products, not as recommended, as much higher doses than you would need. And so that's why it's felt that it's really important that the doctor's involved in those decisions about how much codeine you should have, and to try and keep a bit of a control over that to make sure that, you know, you're protected and you get the amount you need. And if the small doses of codeine, which are appropriate for the doses, are not working, then maybe you need to take a different type of medication as well.
Yeah. And this is Health Matters. Yeah. With me, Jeff Michael, and I'm speaking with Kerry Fitzsimons. She's a senior pharmacist at the Department of Health here in Perth, and we're talking medication safety. And we're talking medication safety on Health Matters today. And I'm Jeff Michael, and joining me in the studio is Kerry Fitzsimons. She's a senior pharmacist at the Department of Health here in Perth. And Kerry, I suppose going back to those travel tips, I suppose people always like to go to overseas countries and their medications. What would they need to be mindful of?
Well, I guess another thing, especially in relation to, say, codeine and other strong painkillers, is sometimes they're not legal in other countries. So, you know, if you don't have a medication list that sort of verifies this is something that you normally take, and sometimes before you travel you need to check whether you need to take a prescription from your doctor to authorise that these medicines are actually for you, it can be a real problem, because they are drugs of addiction, deemed drugs of addiction, and some countries, you know, can, you know, you can get in sort of legal issues and if you're actually taking these medications overseas. And a lot of countries have now taken the codeine products off their shelves as well. So Australia isn't the first country that are moving this way, because it is recognised internationally as a problem all over the world, that codeine products, you know, may not be that effective in combination in small doses, but also it can be, you know, a problem when, you know, if people are self-regulating or self-taking their medications itself and not taking as directed on the box or from the doctor, then there is a risk to the person that they might cause more harm than good by taking these medicines.
Is that the reason why the sale of codeine is changing or has been changed?
Yeah, absolutely. The codeine itself, too, amongst all of the different opioids, is a little bit unpredictable in the way that it works, because some people it works, you know, really well. Some people it doesn't work as well, and they feel they need to take more. Also, the way that the body breaks down the codeine as well is quite different between different people. So some people can break the codeine down and they don't feel like they're getting the effect that they're getting, that they should be getting, where some people don't break the drug down very well and it stays in their body for a long time, and that can also build up and cause other side effects, which can be quite nasty. So it's really important that you know, have that conversation with your doctor if you do need ongoing codeine treatment. And there are you know, lots of really good doctors that can help with other choices if the codeine product isn't the correct drug for you to move forward to manage your pain, because there's lots of information in the literature now, sort of studies that have happened, which have shown that the codeine has little benefit compared to other medicines when treating pain. So there are some, you know, other really good alternatives available that will really help how you treat your pain. So, it, you know, Panadeine and Nurofen Plus that were quite popular. I have seen patients come into hospital because with the Nurofen Plus, for example, that's got an anti-inflammatory in it called ibuprofen, and you find that if you're taking too much of the ibuprofen, it can actually start wearing away your tummy lining, and that can cause, you know, at the worst case scenario, having a stomach bleed, and that's quite, you know, serious, and, you know, it can be quite hard to treat when you come to hospital. So it is really important that these drugs are now being pulled back, because a lot of people, you know, don't take it as the dose that it says on the package. They take much more than they should be taking, and by doing that, then that actually really makes a high risk for the person.
Yeah. I suppose, what are the alternative treatments to codeine? What could be taken in place of codeine?
Well, as I said, there is the anti-inflammatory drugs, which are probably not used as much as they could be used, because I guess everyone's very familiar with, say, the Panadeine brand or the Nurofen Plus brand. But the Nurofen Plus, as I said, they've done studies and they've actually found that the ibuprofen plus the paracetamol is actually more effective than the ibuprofen plus the codeine. So it is, you know, there are studies to show that just even changing to that, which you can actually get that get those medicines from the pharmacy still, may be a better choice to start off with. But, I mean, there's other things about those medicines that you need to talk to your pharmacist or doctor about as well, just to make sure that they are right for you. And I think, too, there's been lots of information about opioids such as codeine and morphine actually making, after a while, they can actually make you more sensitive to pain, which means that, you know, you might feel that you need more of these medications to treat the pain, when it's actually having a bit of a side effect, if you like, of actually causing your body to be more sensitive to the pain response. So, you know, it's, at that stage, it's probably best to sort of looking for other alternatives, whether they be the non-steroidals or so there are some other drugs that are used for epilepsy, which can also be useful for pain management. But, you know, they do need to be under the direction of your doctor as well. But there are some really good options, and there's some, you know, good doctors who can assist to make sure that you've done the right thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, this is Health Matters. Come to you from the studios of Noongar Radio in Perth, and we're talking medication safety. And with me in the studio is Kerry Fitzsimons, Senior Pharmacist at the Department of Health. And I suppose what we should take away from the program today, what were the main things we should really take notice of as far as medications go, medication safety?
Okay, I think the number one thing is to know what you're taking and how to take it. So if you've got any questions at all about, or any concerns about the medicines you're taking, and for how long they need to be taken, make sure that you do ask those questions, because that's what the doctor and the pharmacist and the nurse is there for. We really want to hear if you have a problem, because if it means you're not going to take the medicine properly, then it can either mean that you don't become well, or it can actually cause bad side effects. I think also we need to make sure that, you know, you do have these medications stored properly and safely, so, you know, that they keep working as they should, but also that they don't cause side effects, and children taking the medicines inappropriately and making them very sick. So it's really important that you store your medicines properly, and not to share the medications as well, because, you know, the medicines that you've got are prescribed specially for you. So, you know, it's really important that if you have medicines prescribed that you don't give them to other people, even though you think it might make you feel really good. It can actually make somebody else really sick.
Yeah, especially when people pretend to be a doctor saying, oh, you've got the same thing I've got.
Take some of these. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what is really important is if you have a list of your medicines and what they are, the doses and how frequently you take them and what you take them for. And if you can't do that yourself, then your local pharmacy will be very happy, I'm sure, to help you put that list together, because it helps you know what you're taking and helps anybody else you go and see. So if you see another pharmacist or you see a doctor in a hospital or your GP, or even if you're going to a dentist, sometimes it's really important for the dentist to know all the medicines you take. So by having that list, it's really important to communicate what you're taking.
Yeah, and this is Health Matters with me, Jeff Michael, and we're speaking with Kerry Fitzsimons. She's the senior pharmacist, a senior pharmacist at the Department of Health. Maybe you are the senior pharmacist there, are you?
No, not the only. There's lots of other pharmacists working at the Department of Health, but I enjoy my job there. It's good.
Okay, and how can people find out more about medication safety? Is there a website that people can go and check out?
Yeah, there certainly is. So on the Healthy WA website, which is healthywa.wa.gov.au, there's some really good information about your medicines and how to take them. We've also got the WA Medication Safety Group, which has a website. You can go to health.wa.gov.au, and they have a lot of guidance information and some good resources about how to take your medicines properly.
And also, before we do go, and so it's going back to the codeine situation there, can you still get codeine?
So, no. That's a simple answer. So all codeine products now, you will need to go and see a doctor to get a prescription. So they are available in the sense that, you know, if you have a prescription, you can get codeine products, but you can't go to the local pharmacy and purchase it over the counter like you did previously. So it is really important that if you did find codeine helpful for pain, that you do speak to your doctor and then arrange enough supplies so that you don't sort of run out, because you won't be able to go to the pharmacy to get it anymore.
Yeah. Okay, and a quick reminder of the website there if people want to find out more.
So Healthy WA, which is healthywa.wa.gov.au, is probably the best site to go for more information.
Okay, Kerry, thank you very much for joining us today here on Health Matters.
Thank you very much, and I've really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks, Jeff.